Welcome back to the Hardline. Enter at your own risk.
Love me, love me.
This is even worse.
Don't forget you love me when I break things, make things.
Hey, welcome back to the Hardline. 5-9 the Fan, KFNS at 5-9thefan.com. I would recommend getting the 5-9 the Fan app. Crystal clear. Crystal clear. Cam Jansen alongside me and Matt Rocchio today. Rosati Kane High School is where we are on remote. They've been empowering and educating young women since 1911. 100% of their graduates are accepted into college.
Woo woo.
And they've had a 65% increase in enrollment for upcoming freshmen in the 2016-17 school year to present. So that, there's good reason.
There's a real
Cam.
Deal.
You were getting a geography slash history lesson during the break.
Oh, do we? Oh, yeah.
Tell me what you learned.
Not much. No, I know this place is gorgeous around here. I know it is. And
okay, so we're next to a giant cathedral.
Yes, and it reminds me of Nottingham and living in England.
That has the most mosaics in the entire Western Hemisphere.
Exactly.
So we're going to quiz you on that later.
See what he does to me when we're at these schools? It's three in a row now.
You need three paragraphs on the difference between a church and a cathedral?
Yes, Cam. Church and a cathedral.
I know.
We need three paragraphs on that.
Thank you.
So that'd be good. I'll be honest. I don't know. I love St. Louis, but I don't know the ins and outs. But I know this place is beautiful, and
it is gorgeous.
Central West End is nice. Also, Rock was letting Cam know that there's a really, really nice park just to the west. It's called Forest Park.
Oh,
and they had the World Fair there back in 1904.
I was actually telling them if I was you know from somewhere else and I played for the Blues and I was 21, 22 years old. I'd
live Central West End,
right
absolutely.
Around here, absolutely right around here. For
yeah,
sure.
Yeah,
very pretty.
This is where all the people our age, not our age per se anymore.
Yeah, Barrett Jackman lives down here. A bunch of the guys do.
22 to 28 or so, this is about where you go.
I want just in a little apartment down here, just so you're kind of down here. You got your clothes. You can kind of regroup instead of going out to Eureka or St. Charles.
And everything's very close. You can go out on the streets, feel very safe. Why? Because everybody is out hanging out. It's beautiful
outside.
Yeah,
walking around.
By the way.
There's a lot of scooters cruising around.
Oh, my gosh.
Looks very dangerous to me.
No.
No, there's so much fun. I mean, they're
You got one?
They're definitely dangerous, but they're also so much
so
fun.
So what do? Just drop them off somewhere? And
you get the app. You take a picture of it. Then you just jump on and go. And
there's another
one.
An
absolute blast.
I almost got ran over a couple times.
They're way too much fun.
It is crazy. My wife is obsessed with all the all the changing of the leaves. She's from Texas, so the leaves don't change. It's just hot all year and miserable. So she's obsessed with all the leaf changing. I'm looking out the window right now, and there's like nine different colors right out the back.
Absolutely gorgeous. It is.
It happens every year. I'm surprised people are still.
This is Missouri. I don't know if you've ever been to Texas, but actually, it's about 90 degrees all year long, and you know, it goes up to about 110 in the summer.
I'm glad we had these kind of days though, because it felt like it was going to do what it did.
And everything just died.
Winter to summer, and then it's going to come to summer to winter. I thought it was going to kind of pull that off on us again, but now these days are like 65 degrees.
If you remember last year, we did go straight from summer to winter because we didn't really get the leaf change.
Yeah, I know. And
everything just died.
It just died.
It died overnight.
It's real quick.
Yeah.
I love Halloween.
So, Cam, you watched the Mizzou game last week, yes? 65 points.
When was that, Saturday?
Uh-huh. I think you did because you were texting me.
That's usually when they are, Cam, on Saturday.
Yeah, right. Yeah. No, I was in a meeting and one of the fun meetings, corner bar.
Aren't they all fun?
Yeah. No. No, they're not. No, I watched it at Corner Bar. It was cool. Totally cool. Great game.
Yeah. So we had Barry Odom on yesterday, and it was interesting. We didn't really talk about this because it was in the 2:30 hour. But I deemed myself the president and founder of the St. Louis Barry Odom Fan Club.
For the second year
For the second year in a row, yes.
You keep talking about this like you didn't do this exact same act.
This year we're going to make shirts,
though. Same time last year. Like you're just doing the exact same thing a year later, and you're acting like it's new. It's just what you did last year, and I respect it.
Except
I'm wondering where you've been the last 4 weeks, because it should have continued. You lost faith, obviously, and I think we need to question you on
that.
Not in
lose faith.
You did lose faith.
Did you?
You need to head over
I'm just wondering. Cam, nicely done.
No. Thank you.
Blessed by the Pope, don't you know?
So,
according to the texter.
Cam Cathedral. That's what that is.
I know. Thank you.
So, anyway, what he did was, we were kind of joking about that. He said, we'll make matching T-shirts. This would be good. We'll have a victory lap together. But what he did after that, when I asked about Kentucky, is he sort of went on a little bit of a rant about the success Kentucky's seeing right now. And he said the reason is because he's been given the resources, he's been given the time and patience that it takes to develop a successful program. And you've watched Kentucky, he said, like, his first year had, like, 3 wins, second year had 5, third year had 5, then he went to 7, and right now he's 6-1. Why is that? Number 12 team in the country. Because you've given him time and everything he needs to get his system implemented. You hired him for a reason, did you not? And based on that, do you want to give him the time to implement the system that you bought into when you hired him? Yeah, do you or don't you?
He wasn't very subtle. The quote right here. They're an older team. Mark's a guy I've known for a long time. What you're seeing now is the byproduct of some patience and a guy who believed in the recruiting process to build the team he wanted. And a little bit he continues. He goes, all that stuff together equals why they're 6-1 in an overtime from being defeated. I like the way we match up. It's an opportunity for us to step up. But he's pretty much just hammering in.
Yeah.
How important it is to have a little patience, and if once a guy gets his feet under him in his recruiting classes, here's what happens. And he was talking about Mark Stoops, but was he really talking about Mark Stoops?
Yeah, what he was doing is sending a message the way you should when your team is sitting at 3-3 and have played, at the time, the top two teams in the country. Georgia's still probably a top 10 team. They're just not number 2 by a long shot like they were last year. And instead of...
Still, you're most likely playing 4 top 15 teams when everything settles.
Bingo. Exactly.
At the end of the
right.
year. Maybe Kentucky falls down to the top 20, but in essence, you're playing.
Yeah, I doubt it, though. We looked at their schedule yesterday.
Yeah, you're right.
I think there's a pretty good chance that they end up somewhere in the top. I think they'll be in the top 20 for sure. So, Mark Stoops, while I don't think Kentucky is somebody you want to believe in specifically when their quarterback threw for 18 yards last week.
Ooh.
18, Cam.
Gee.
Drew Locke throws for 3 times that on a single completion sometimes. Mm. And, Terry Wilson's just not very good. On the season, has 4 touchdowns and 5 interceptions. He's not very good. So they're one-dimensional on offense. But they have, I think, the second-best defense in the SEC this year. They're allowing, like, 330 yards or something. I think they're 301. I think they're barely over 300 yards. It's interesting. This weekend is going to be a clash of styles. Missouri is averaging over 500 yards of offense per game. And on the flip side, they're allowing 420-ish.
Ooh.
So on average, the games Missouri plays, there's about 900-plus yards of offense. 920 if you want to go the exact average. Kentucky's games is sitting at 650. That is a serious clash.
It's like McGregor and Khabib.
Why?
Well, he's just one's a striker and one's a wrestler.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, I did not watch the 5. I don't know anything about Khabib.
Okay, just go.
You tweeted out 660, not 650. That's 2 losses in like 10 seconds for you right there, TJ. That's a rough go for you.
Thank you for following on
you
Twitter.
You hate to see that.
At TJMo28, if you guys can follow.
Dang.
Anyway, I know nothing about Khabib. I do know about McGregor, though. But anyway, point being is it is a clash of styles. Whoever gets the other to play their game is going to win this weekend. If the game is in the 30s, Missouri wins. If the game is in the teens, Kentucky's going to win. I do not see Kentucky holding this Missouri team, specifically if Emmanuel Hall plays, into the teens. I don't see any chance of that, especially with what you saw, the development of Jalen Knox last week, has been throughout the season. Alberto, the usage last week. You didn't even see a ton of the three running backs any given week. Would anybody be surprised if Tyler Beatty went for 100 yards rushing in a single week? I don't think so. I mean, he's really good, as you've already seen Roundtree and Crockett do that. So I would not anticipate Kentucky slowing Missouri's offense down too much, but you got to find a way to stop Benny Snell. Benny Snell's averaging like 123 yards rushing per game. That's incredible. That puts you on pace for really heavy rushing season. But guess who held him to 60 yards? Texas A&M. It's doable, and Texas A&M, by the way, is the one team to beat him this year. So if you stop the run, you stop Kentucky. You've got to figure out a way to get going on that.
Well, how do you stop the run then?
They're actually fairly decent at stopping the run, but they find a way to plug the holes in the middle. Terry Beckner Jr., Jordan Elliott, Kobe Whiteside, they've got guys in the middle who can figure it out. Now, their defensive ends have not gotten any pressure until last week. Last week, they started getting pressure with 4. It's the first time we've seen it all year. pressure is not just on the quarterback. You can apply pressure, obviously, to a running back. And tackles for loss is a huge deal. That's how you if you get somebody in second and 14, the playbook shrinks. If it's second and 6, you can do anything you want because third and 6 is manageable. Third and 14 is not. So you've got to get, you know, you've got to pick up 8 to 10 yards in order to probably have a successful third down attempt if you are thrown for a loss on first down. So I think there's a lot to it. I read out the stats yesterday. Missouri's second half has been incredible each of the last 2 years defensively. I shouldn't say incredible. It has been significantly better than it was in the first half, nearly double in some categories. They've had nearly twice as many sacks during the second
normal,
half as
though,
the first half.
No, they get,
not at all.
Oh, really?
That's totally abnormal. If anything, teams would go the other direction because they start to wear down as the season goes on.
I thought they figured they'd
it's like the third year in a row. It's the second year in a row it's happened, so it's kind of normal.
Well, he's asking about college football.
No. New normal. Oh.
Typically in college football, you would wear down and not be as good in the back half of the season as you would at the beginning. Missouri happens to figure it out. I don't know why this is, and we'll find out if it's in the cards for the third straight time. But we did ask him about Emmanuel Hall yesterday. He did not entirely rule out a red shirt, but he didn't. He basically said it was unlikely. He said, you know, if 3 weeks down the road he's still not playing, that's something we're going to consider. But, you know, he wants to help the team win, and we'll see about this weekend. You've heard people say that this is the week he's going to be playing. I don't know where he's at health-wise because last week he didn't sit due to health. He sat due to grieving the death of his father.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Coach's comments about his health and needing to get him right physically made me think that obviously this week is undoubtedly no-go. And
no, he didn't say that. That's not what I took from it, at least.
Okay.
Let's go back and let's do it. He obviously didn't say that flat out, but what I – perfect. Here is Frank Cusimano spoke to him as well yesterday, and they asked him directly about Emmanuel Hall and his health. Here's what he had to say.
Yeah, I don't know yet. You know, they had the passing of his father. They had the funeral on Saturday. He made it back to campus yesterday, and you know, we're going to sit down and talk here in a couple hours and kind of see where he's at physically and mentally, and continue to provide him all the help that he needs to work through this time in his life. And he's got a lot of weight on him on all the things and all the responsibilities that kind of been put on his plate here in the last two weeks. And you know, we'll kind of see where he's at here later on in the week.
Yeah, poor kid.
So he said a little bit more to us.
I had him down for – he mentioned the phrase, if we get to the point 3 weeks from now where he's not medically cleared, we'll talk.
Yes, that was later.
That's popping out to me, wondering if there is something that more than just the worry about him being mentally ready, because he said the whole medically cleared part. And he said physically, we got to get him to physically to a point. So I'm wondering what those comments are in relation to.
I could see why you took that.
Are they worried that he's gotten out of shape because he hasn't been working out at all?
No. Before that, he
was a little dinged up.
Well, no, I'm saying before that part of the interview, he said, we're going to check him out this week, see where he's at, if he's ready to play. Mm-hmm. So I think part of that, the way I took it was when he was going on from there was, this is the only way it's possible that he would redshirt.
Yeah.
Which, you know, and we'll see. And you could be right. I tend to think he's going to play this week. I don't, there's no inside information on that, obviously, or we would not be sitting here speculating. So he's a guy that can make a difference, most certainly. Kentucky, believe it or not, I mean, we know Kentucky's known as a basketball school, and every year they're known as the team that has 7 one-and-dones on their SEC championship team. However, this defense is elite-level good. They have one he's going to be a first-round. Josh Allen is going to be a first-round pass rusher. And outside of that, they got guys that fly to the ball and do a really good job. So, it's going to be a test, and I think they're going to win. And everybody can shut up then about Odom's, you know, finally beating a winning team and a ranked team.
And then the Florida game comes up.
No, that's okay. Because I think people, if you beat Kentucky, I think people will have a little bit more. It was Florida. It's on the road. That's a top 10 team. You can deal with that loss if you just came off beating a top 12 team. Now, there are going to be Missouri fans. Well, you said this the other day. I forget who this quote was. Somebody tweeted at me. The perfect season for a fan is for the team to go undefeated and the coach to get fired. That's the truth of it, right?
Yeah.
You want your team to win like crazy and you hate the coach and he's an idiot. You know, mm-hmm. So that is the reality.
Right.
So 855-282-8255. Cam.
Yo.
We are going to be Friday at Maggie O's.
Friday?
I think we are.
No, man. I got.
No. You're at Maggie O's on Friday.
You're not coming.
I thought you were coming with me because
John's out. So you're not coming to the Hardline Friday. Okay, we need to figure that out.
I got my show from 2 to 4 Friday.
I know, but I'm just talking to myself then from 5 to 7 because John's out of town.
Oh, 5 to
7. Oh, no. You'll be talking to me. Don't worry.
Oh, you're going to be there?
Yeah, I'll be there.
Okay. Oh, all right, so wires crossed here. You're going to be at Top Shooters as you usually are. I am going to be at Maggie O's. So I guess it's me and Rock doing the show from 5 to 7
p.m. But then we're
PM.
Doing another one. We're at Maggie O's again sometime. And I got my 6 to 7 show there, too, and it's right before a game.
Yeah, Maggie O's is jumping right back in with 5 9. Yeah. The midday grind is going to be there. The press box is going to be there on Friday as well.
I talked to Eddie the other day. I went in there for a Reuben and a Guinness. You know how I do it.
Yeah, so we'll be jumping around. We'll be
Lemonade, right?
Now, here's the big thing. This week's Maggie O's remotes are at the Sunset Hills location. So we're out in the county.
It is. Oh, cool. Oh, yeah.
And then I think obviously down when we get out there with the Cam Jansen show.
Do it.
I almost thought about doing the thanks, DJ. We got there with the Cam Jansen show. We'll be downtown. That way Cam can jet right over the Blues games.
Yes.
That was slick.
It'll be a lot of fun.
Cam.
Great to have Eddie and the guys back.
Yeah, that was well done. I was telling Kara that yesterday. It was slick, Cam, that I called the Cam Jansen show while he's on the air. You know, I said, all right, Cam, thanks. We'll see you later. And I waited about 5 seconds. Cam pretended to hang up, stayed on the line. I said, don't forget that Cam Jansen program. He's like, you idiot.
So you're openly admitting that you won't call it a program to his face?
I just did.
Well, okay, it's not. Well, it's not a program.
Got anything special going on tonight's
Cam,
show?
Cam, can you text somebody that knows and figure out when Robbie Fabry is going to be back?
Yeah, what is his deal? Do we know? I don't know. I kind of forgot about him. Remember you texted me last? I'm like, oh, yeah, I forgot about him.
Cam, you got a show from 6 to 7. You got to get some guests on the line.
I got Joey Vitale coming on at 6:30.
Put some fingers in chest.
Yeah, that's his first road trip. Yeah. And, you know, it was pretty cool, a long road trip.
They're obviously telling him the secrets of the organization already. So,
we chat all the time. And you know, he calls me. He's like, what are you seeing? And I'm like, man. And we kind of go back and forth, too, because there's a lot of questions.
Yeah.
And it's weird. And, again, if they're winning – it's easier to break it down a bit. That's why they won, because of boom, boom, boom. And for, you know, why they lose, it's like hard to say, well, why'd they make that mistake? I don't know.
Because Bo's body doesn't work
it's
anymore.
Just, and his head doesn't work either, though, TJ.
That's the truth.
It's not just his body.
You know what? But I wonder if the body leads to the brain failing you, because when you think you can. Does that make sense?
I don't know.
It doesn't at all.
When you think you can do certain things with your body.
Yeah, I don't know.
And then now you're in the wrong spot because you can't actually get there. That looks like a mental lapse, even if it's a physical lapse.
In hockey, it's called confidence, dude. He's got no confidence, and his body's wearing out on him, and he's not getting the pucks. And then when he does.
It's called cartilage. That was his main issue.
Arthritis. He's done, and he's making stupid passes, and it's just. Mental mistakes as far as and physical breakdowns.
Mental mistakes are fine. The fact that he can't turn his hips
are
a completely different issue, and it's not his fault.
But the plays with the puck are bad, too. He's turned the puck over. So, anyway. Poor guy.
Rosati Kane High School has been empowering and educating young women since 1911, 100%.
Whoa.
Of their graduates.
Yeah, we're going to spend the 2 o'clock hour learning about that from people who know a lot more about it than us.
Very good.
So,
nice.
Very
good.
Awesome.
Nice.
All right, boys
and
girls. We will be back very shortly, and we will have a chance to interview the field hockey coach, Julie Murphy.
All right.
So,
all right.
A lot of good stuff there.
Well, hello.
Coming up, 2 o'clock hour, we'll talk a little bit more Blues, too, and I don't know why they're 2-6, and let's stop awarding points for blowing games in the third period. All right, it's a hard line.